comfortable with that, go ahead and join hands. We're just going to allow God to do what he's promised. Father, in Jesus' name, we proclaim a freedom that is a spiritual freedom. Demonic influence, demons in hell have no hold upon the body of Christ. And we come against you in Jesus' name. And we just proclaim in Jesus' name that you no longer have hold. We are free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right now, I pray in advance for our two cities that we will represent this Thursday, El Monte and South El Monte, as we have representatives from our church to pray and to intercede and be a part of the ministry. Father, thank you for our leaders of El Monte, our leaders of South El Monte. In Jesus' name, we proclaim a breaking, a freedom in our cities. No longer criminals, no longer demonic influence, drugs. We say, get out of our cities in Jesus' name. Moral impurity, I come against that in Jesus' name. And I proclaim an overwhelming blessing of the Holy Spirit, that lives will be transformed, lives will be changed. Because, Father, you are taking our leadership in our cities, men and women that are bold, that are godly, and they are speaking the truth, and the truth is setting our cities free. We thank you, Father, that we are living now in the latter days, but in those latter days, before we see the totality of evil, we will see the totality of the Holy Spirit that will rule and reign in this place, in this world. And we will see God do the miraculous, because this also is the house of miracles. And we proclaim that in Jesus' name. Healing arise right now. Marriages be whole right now. Relationships be whole right now. And I thank you, Lord, that that is a done deal, because you've already proclaimed it from the beginning. Thank you, Lord, for this body. Thank you, Lord, for the men and women, the boys and girls that are in this church. Lord, I pray an overwhelming blessing over their homes, over their businesses, over their jobs, over their leadership in church. God, bless all of those that rose up and ministered yesterday. Bless all those that rise up every single day and minister in the marketplace, that touch lives that are there. Availability, that extra moment, that extra second, that extra hour to be able to touch lives. Online, we proclaim a blessing from Valley Community Church. In Jesus' name, the power of the name of Jesus, that healing would arise in your homes as you are watching this program. Father, I thank you that it is finished. It is a reality. We are living in these days. Holy Spirit, move upon your people. Move in that greater way that you have promised. And we receive it in faith. Father, use us. Use us in a greater way. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Just high five someone before you are seated. Thank you to our worship team as they continue to avail what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. They continue to write songs. They continue to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So pray for them as they pray for you. But I just want to say good morning. And again, I am just basking in the joy of the Lord. First of all, because who he is in my heart. But second of all, because I get to spend that time with you. I get to hang out with you and watch you do what you do. And I am proud of you. Men, be a part of the breakfast. Join us. And it's a good breakfast, and it's pretty cheap, too. You go out to eat now, or you're going to pay double. Plus, you're going to get an exciting word. I have questions today, and these are the questions that, in developing the new series we begin today, these are some of the things that, a few of the many questions that I asked the Lord. And I said, Lord, give me insight, give me wisdom, so that I can answer these questions to the body of Christ, so that I could touch all the leaders that I touch around the country, around the world, that I could give them answers and give them insight in Scripture. And I'll just say it the old-fashioned way, a Holy Ghost truth that they could take and begin to impart to their own leaders, to their churches. But I get to hang out with you. I love Valley Community Church. I love the people, you. I love my brothers and sisters, and I'm so proud of you. Even if you didn't do anything, I'm just proud of you. I'm excited about you. And every time I come to church and I get to see you, get to see your faces, it's such a blessing. For you online, it's a joy. I hear from some of you, and thank you. As I know, as soon as I get back to the office, there will be people already have communicated to me. And I welcome you. You are a part of us. So join in with us and be a part of what God is doing. Here's some of the questions. When life shakes you to the core, what do we need to see? How about this one? Every one of us have a call and a purpose. What do we need to grasp so we can accomplish that call and purpose? Some of us might be in a place where we don't even know the call yet. We don't know our purposes yet. But I want to tell you, God will show it to you because He is a gracious and a loving God. But what do you need to grasp in order to fulfill what God's called you to? Every day is a choice. You either let pain harden you, or you can let pain shape you or shape you into someone softer. How do we do that? What do we need to grasp? What do we need to see in the spirit realm in life? I'm not talking about being, you know, so spiritually minded we're no earthly good. I really don't know what that means, but, you know, that's a statement everybody says. But that we get so into religion, we get so into churchendom that we forget that we live in this real life, that God's purpose something. What do we need to see? What do we need to grasp? What things do we need to understand? Now, I'm going to make some statements now, and this is kind of the journey that I took in the last few years of putting this series together. When you are softened, you begin to hear God in the difficult times. There are a lot of believers, godly people, when things get rough, they don't hear God because the situation is louder than God. Many believe their identity is measured by what you do in life every day. Well, this is what I do, and this is who I am. But I believe all of us are called of God into a ministry in the places that we do. So really, our first response of everything in life is, God, what are you asking us to do in the situation and the place that we're at? It's easy to hide behind a character when you're broken, almost becoming an actor or an actress. I'll say it again. It's easy for us to hide behind a character that is developed because of what you do. than to really stand back and really dig deeper and find out who you really are, where blindness is removed, because understanding and revelation takes place. But I want you to know that the thing is that's breaking you or broke you in the past is the very thing that is breaking you open. I began to see through Scripture, and this is part of the teachings. We're going to take about 8 weeks on this, these precepts or principles or whatever you want, the laws of God. We're going to take about 8 weeks and go through this and answer many of the questions that we ask through the series, but we're going to also make stronger statements, even of the statements that we made this morning. Because God is speaking to this house, but the Holy Spirit is outpouring to all of the world. And I'm trying to help us in this season with God is to open ourselves up to becoming free. We did a series a while ago about freedom in another avenue, but what I entitled this is I Am Free. That we have true understanding how to walk in the freedom of God, because there are a lot of believers that, I will say it, that are in bondage. And we struggle with that statement because when we hear the word bondage, we only go to a religious text of thinking of what bondage is and that the devil has a hold of you and all these things. And we're going to dig into things like this and we're going to find out. Matter of fact, today we're going to talk about demons. We're going to talk about this stuff that sometimes people say, oh, Pastor, our last series was wonderful. I really enjoyed that. Now, do we have to talk about this stuff? Yes, we do. Because there are a lot of believers that are in bondage to areas of their life, and they don't know how to get out of it. They don't know how to regroup and to allow truth to set them free, and they stay in unforgiveness. They stay in bitterness. They stay in anger. They ask the Lord, you know, forgive me for something, and they do it 500 more times. And they wonder why they can't stop doing this. So we're going to dig deeper into these areas of spiritual things, and we're going to find this out. And I promise you, you're going to be standing up and rejoicing at the end of the series because such truth has caused you to be free. Now, again, what is breaking you, maybe even today, is breaking you open so that you can become free. And God doesn't always call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He qualifies you. Some of us are in such bondage to the lies of the enemy because of experience or rejection that we don't feel qualified in any area of our life. In our marriage, in our business, we go to work, we're not happy, we're frustrated because we just don't feel like we belong anywhere. And that's the lie of the enemy trying to bind you up in these thoughts. So God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We must be able to say in our everyday life, I am free. Now in this series, we're going to talk about doors, different doors that we leave open for the enemy. It's a terminology that people have used, and sometimes they've taken that to extreme. And because of that, then it's become a foolishness to a lot of believers to talk about doors closed and doors open. There are people that actually have sermons that come against anybody teaching on doors. Well, Scripture talks about doors all the time. So I want you to see the amazing ability that you have to be able to close those doors. You're the ones that's been given authority to close the doors. So my goal is to show you how to be totally free. So the question is, what causes you to be in bondage or be stuck in your life? What causes you to feel like nothing's changing? Because God takes us from glory to glory. So we're going to dive into this, and today we're going to get deep into a subject that some people are afraid, or they've been taught wrongly on the subject, and because of that, it's hard for us to recognize and understand. So I want you to open up your heart, open up your mind to these things. You know, I've been with you for years, actually with the church for decades, and I will not steer you wrong. I have men that listen to every one of my sermons and make sure that I'm in line with Scripture around the country. So today, let's look at a reality of demonic activity. And through Jesus, there is victory. I'll say it again. Let's look at the the reality of demonic activity and or influence. And also see through Jesus Christ, there is victory over that influence. And I'm not talking about someone who known the Lord for 20 years and has walked in ministry. Now they have authority. I'm talking about everybody that is born again. There's a reality of demonic influence, whether you've been just born again yesterday or you've known him for 50 years, and there's a reality that Jesus Christ will give you victory in everything. But we need to know the truth that will set us free. Because I'm basing this series on a scripture that says, he whom the Son makes, notice, makes free is free indeed. The reason Satan does not want you to hear this series is because he doesn't want to get caught in the deception that he's given the church. Scripture tells us also in Proverbs, when a thief is caught, he has to restore what he has stolen sevenfold. So here's the result of this series. Satan will be caught in your mind and heart, and whatever's been ripped off, whatever deception has happened in your life or mine, he's going to have to restore sevenfold. Amen. And so from the beginning of this series, I want you to begin recognizing, we're not going to do this demon stuff, but I want you to recognize there are demons that are purposed to bring deception in your life. And we need to understand, even as believers, we can be deceived. But be of good cheer. Jesus Christ has overcome all things. So when we dive into this, and we're going to take weeks to do this, but I'm going to really give you a lot today. Let's have some fun with it. All right? Let's have some fun with it. So, most believers, my premises in this series, are not free. Because most believers don't believe they can be in bondage. When Jesus makes the statement in John 8:36, he's speaking to believers. He's not speaking to unbelievers. How do I know that? Because the verse before, John 8:31 says, to the Jews who had believed him, believers, Jesus said, If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I'm going to give you the truth, and just look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to be free. Go ahead and say that. Now, I'm going to answer some difficult questions. So here's one question. So, is it possible for a believer to be in bondage? Or how about this one? Can a Christian be demon-possessed? Now, Mark 4 is amazing. We're gonna use this too. The Lord has brought me to use Mark chapter 4 and part of it or all of it all the way through August of this year. And so Michelle will tell you I already have most of the series written out, everything for PowerPoint, everything ready to go. Because I've spent years really wanting to answer these questions, and I didn't feel comfortable answering the questions because I had to battle demonic forces, and I had to battle spiritual entities to fight through and to find answers and to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Yes, your pastor. I had to do spiritual battle to get what I'm going to be bringing you. And I'm being very almost dramatic here, but I want to tell you that I'll say it. Holy Spirit said, go ahead. I've battled sickness. I've battled disease. I've battled offense and people. I've battled tragedies. I've battled many things in my personal life. I mean, I'm not talking about these big, huge, where everybody in the world's knowing what's going on. But I've had to battle this to find the answers of what I'm going to bring you. And I want to tell you right now, I'm feeling good. I'm on a spiritual high. I'm on a physical high. I'm not on a drug high. I'm on God's high. Because I have battled through this because the enemy does not want you to hear what I'm going to bring to you. And I would suggest, I know vacations are here. And if you're out of town, get on Church Center. If you don't have Church Center, get it. Get the app and go on and listen because these messages will transform you. Because, watch this, it transformed me. And I can say to you right now, I am free. Totally free. So look at Mark 5, and we're going to go over a passage that we had touched on before, but we're going to dig deep into this. We're going to read the whole story. Mark 5, verse 1, then they came to the other side of the sea to the country of the Gadarenes. This is the city of Gadara. And a lot of people say this is the man from Gadara, all right? And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. One of the ways the Bible describes a demon, unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. In other words, he lived in the cemetery. And no one could bind him, not even with chains. Notice the physical strength. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. In Jesus' name, I come against any scare tactics of the enemy, and I proclaim a protection over our children and our children's children as we delve into this spiritual thing. And I give you praise, Lord, that you have given us victory, and that absolute protection is there in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just tell you, I told the Lord, sometimes we have conversations, you know, and when I say I told the Lord, you know, my daddy's bigger than your dad. No, I didn't tell. But I told the Lord, I said, I can't teach that unless you promise me the protection over this house. And I didn't get that answer for a year and a half. Now, it wasn't that he wasn't going to do it, but I believe the Lord had to show me some things so that I understood some of the things that he would say to me and say to me as a pastor. So he had been often bound, and he broke the shackles, and he was cutting himself. But when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran, watch this, demonically possessed, influenced man, ran and worshiped Jesus. It's the Greek word proskuneo, which means to bow down. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus?" This is actually the demon talking through the voice of the man. But the demon is talking, and actually the next verse tells us, literally, Jesus had talked to the demon before. And you'll see why in a moment. "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Now, this wasn't the man talking. This is the demon talking through the man, because Jesus wouldn't torment a man. But he would a spirit. Okay, so let's move on. "For he said to him," basically already said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Bottom line, Jesus walked up to the man and said to the demon spirit, "Come out of the man." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" Jesus not talking to the man, because the man didn't say, "I'm the man from Gadara." The demon answers, and he answers saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Jesus in Scripture and Jesus throughout has confronted Legion. Now, let me tell you what Legion is. Legion is a Roman terminology, and it means 6,826 soldiers. So, jokingly, this guy was full of it. And we have to understand that there is an entity in this world that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Mark 5:10 says, "Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country." Demonic spirits like to stay where they have a stronghold, where there is a bondage and no freedom. Matter of fact, during the study, I'll just share with you, and I got time, and I drove into a city, and my wife and I were looking for some things, and I came back and told my wife, I said, "I don't like that city." She goes, "Why?" I said, "Because it's demonically influenced and possessed. Every time I drive into it, I feel that entity." And I won't tell you what city, and I'm not going to tell you what I sensed that that spirit represented. I'm just listening. And I'm not going to tell you that. But I want you to recognize that we have to understand that there is an enemy, and there are literally levels of the enemy that are assigned to cities and assigned to states and assigned to countries. levels of demonic influence. And when we recognize that, it's not a, because in Jesus' name we are protected. And the enemy, I'm not trying to scare you, I'm not trying to make you depressed, but I'm telling you, people ask all the time those questions, why me? Why this? It's because there's an enemy that hates you, but there's a God that absolutely loves you. Verse 10 again. Also, he begged them earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Again, they like the same place. And if they are delivered, they want to go back to the same place. But the story goes in Scripture that the house is swept clean. You got to fill it with the Word of God, or the demonic spirit will come back stronger in that same area. That's why you find people that get wonderfully saved, born again, and then a year later, they go back to their old life. They're still saved, born again. They confess Jesus Christ as Lord, but they didn't fill themselves with the Word of God. And the enemy came in to steal, kill, and destroy, brought deception, and they went back into the same sin. Those people, many of them, you're going to see them in heaven, because Jesus Christ's blood is greater than anything the enemy can do. But deception comes in. And I'm breaking these religious doctrines that are so deceptive, that bring people into a lifestyle of just whatever, God. And we don't move forward. We don't have a passion for the things of God or the Word of God, because we just think, whatever, I'm going to heaven. But God wants us to love Him, to draw closer to Him. He wants to show you His love. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your kids and your grandkids. But He wants you, because you are His daily delight. Verse 11, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain, so all the demons begged Him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Now a herd of swine is about 2,000. And Mark 5:13 says, and at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were so blessed and happy that this guy was delivered that they put in the chains. Is that what it says? They were afraid. So that's what the enemy does. He brings a spirit of fear into you. And I'm going to give you a testimony, spirit of fear in my life years ago. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed. And we'll define demon-possessed today, and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from that region. Now, you would think they would ask Jesus to teach a seminar. How to get rid of this demonic thing. But they were afraid. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. So Decapolis is not a city, it is a 10 cities. Deca means 10 Greek cities. Polis means metropolitan or metroplex. So you had Gadara, Damascus, Philadelphia, not Pennsylvania, but Philadelphia, and seven others. Now, they were Greek cities. That's why they were raising pigs. because Jews wouldn't do that. The demon-possessed guy gets set free, so let me explain some things. When life shakes you to the core, what do you need to see? Here's my first point. There really are demons out there. When life shakes you to the core, you need to see that there really are demons. The word demon is in the King James Version 82 times. 61 times it's in the Gospels. It's where Jesus is encountering a demon or talking about demons, using the different terms talking about demons. Now, I believe why it's in the gospel so many times is that no one really had authority over demons until Jesus came. Jesus began to confront demonic strongholds, bringing freedom to the people. That's why the thousands and thousands were following, because not because he was this great orator, which I'm sure he was and is, because we read many of what he says, but the thing is, they followed him because he brought freedom in their life. And I want to tell you that the demonic influence wants to tell you that you can't get free from what you're facing in your life. Or if there are things attacking your home or whatever, that you have no authority over that. I'm telling you, you do, because of Jesus Christ. And you need to begin to understand that you are free, but you need to recognize what's trying to deceive you. Matthew 8:16 says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. We'll cover that later. So why would Jesus cast them out if demons were not real? Matter of fact, let me read you some more scriptures real quickly. Matthew 9. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man that was demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. You see that? Never seen in Israel. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Hello, that's you. So they went out and preached that people should repent, Mark 6. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them, Mark 16. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Over and over and over and over. See, it even says to us, because they never seen it before. And I want to tell you, there are believers today that have never seen this. I'm not talking about someone walking up and flapping around, and then in Jesus' name, and all of a sudden they're fine and they walk out happy. I'm not talking about that. We haven't seen the spiritual entity that comes in to steal, kill, and destroy through deception. To destroy you. Young people are heavily influenced by things, and they hate themselves, and they cut themselves, and they hate their parents, and they hate life, and they hate all these things. Everybody's against them. The government's against them. I want to tell you, that's demonically influenced. And as parents, you need to come against that. As young people, many of them that are in our church, you come against that. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You are beautiful, you are handsome, and you are great in the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're a child of God. And we have to walk in these things. C.S. Lewis wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Anybody seen that? Of course you have. You know, he's the guy that wrote the 6 additional stories known as the Chronicles of Narnia. C.S. Lewis says this, there are 2 groups of people Satan loves, the skeptic and the superstitious. The skeptic and the superstitious. In other words, There are people who see a demon behind every bush. My headlight broke. It's a demon. No, your headlight broke because you ran into a pole. Superstitious people. There are people who say demons don't exist and never have existed. Or they just existed in Jesus' day. C.S. Lewis says, Satan loves both of these type because they're both in deception. They're both in deception. There are people that say about demons, Pastor, let's not talk about that stuff. Other who say, it's about time Pastor is getting to the good stuff. Okay, and you know, the reality is we have to understand in both camps, you need to move to the reality that there are demons. It's real. Get in Scripture, find out the truth about it, and then take authority over it and walk in this life with joy in your life. Instead of grabbing a hold of all the stuff because you don't understand it. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's why I spent those years going through this, going through all the stuff I had to face to find the full truth of what we're going to show you. So we are not skeptics at Valley. We are not superstitious. We don't deny them, but we don't worship them. But you need to know that Jesus came to set us free. And you can't be free if you don't know you can be in bondage. You cannot be free if you don't know you're in bondage to demonic influence. Jack Hayford said this. I said this in the other series we did on freedom. You can't cast out flesh and you can't disciple a demon. In other words, people say, it's just the flesh, and all I just need to do is overcome the flesh. There's truth in that. But you just need discipleship or discipline, they say. Well, sometimes there is a demonic influence that you need to cast out. You need to come against. And you can do all the, and hey, we do discipleship here, and we do it really well. You can do all the discipleship you want, but in that discipleship, we'll teach you to cast it out, the truth that will set you free. People say you just need to be more disciplined in your life, or they say you have a demon and deliverance is the answer to everything. Man, I've gone through 46 years of ministry. I've watched people just fight and argue about all this stuff. The question is this, do you need discipleship or deliverance? The answer to that question, do you need discipleship or deliverance, is yes. Because you can't cast out flesh, you need discipleship. Because you can't disciple a demon, you need deliverance. So here it is. In the late 70s, when I realized after being born again that I still had demonic bondage in my life. See, this is where it's going to get really good. You're going to find out about me. I'm kidding. And or demonic influence in my life. I was in bondage to fear. I was raised in a very strong, godly family, but a very strong business family. And that all through growing up, I always heard comments of fear that we need to do this at the business or else. My mom was a supervisor. My dad was a manager of a large company. And so I was in bondage of fear. And then through the years, I would hear the money stuff. And so I was called a miser at age 7 or 8. I would save everything. Matter of fact, sometimes When we went on vacation, my mom and dad would borrow money from me so we could go on vacation. But that wasn't because I was smart. It was because I was influenced by fear, and money began to become that fear. When I first became born again, one of the first things I read was about tithing. And that demonically influenced thing that was in my life said, you can't afford that. You better not tithe. And so I didn't. But I began to read scriptures after scripture after scripture. And I began to say, I got to do this. I struggled. Every time I put that tithe envelope in there, I just said, you idiot, what are you doing? You know, here I was 19 years old thinking, you know, the world's going to crash and I'm going to need my money to save the world type fear. So I began to read these scriptures and I was in bondage to this. I knew that. But I didn't say owned. The demonic spirit didn't own me, but possessed or influenced me. We'll go in the Greek in a moment. The influence was so strong in me about fear of money, God began to show me I needed to be delivered from that bondage. And I was. I went up for prayer, and it was a ministry group called the God Squad. And there were about 8 people that sang and ministered, and they were young, and they were powerful. They prophesied over me about me being in ministry. I didn't know anything about that yet, about me being in ministry. They prophesied me being leadership in ministry, lead pastors, supervisor, all the different things that has taken place in my life. And there was a prophecy that came to pass. But in that area, he proclaimed, I come against fear in Jesus' name, and you get out. And I'm thinking, like, get out? What a, you know. In 46 years of ministry, the only people I've seen that cannot get set free are those who won't admit that they are in bondage. I admitted it, and I went forward, and I was set free. And now I can, just because I'm up here teaching, I'm not patting myself on the back. Now I believe I'm at the place, as we talked about the levels of Christianity, I'm a giver, and I'm not afraid to give. If God asked me to give everything I own, I'd give it in a heartbeat. I'd give it in a heartbeat. I've given away cars. I've given away thousands of dollars to people. Person needed help at school, I paid for his school. A whole semester of his school. A person lost a loved one. They needed $5,000. I wrote out a check instantly because God told me to do it. I do not live in fear of money. Money doesn't rule me. It doesn't matter. That's why even today, I don't look at who tithes or anything. I get the report because I have to report to the council of everything. But bottom line, I don't know who tithes. I don't know who gives offering. I don't go after money. I don't charge for funerals. I don't charge for weddings. People bless me, but I'll just tell you what, I bless more people than I'm blessed. Because I'm not afraid of that anymore. Because I recognize there are demons. And we're going to go a lot deeper in this. But the people who cannot be totally set free are people who believe, because they're a believer born again, is they can't be in bondage. Here's the second point. Demons really do enter people. John 10:1, most assuredly this is true. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold, sheep, by the door, Jesus is the door, but climbs up some other way into the sheepfold, the same as a thief and a robber. Talking about being born again. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So is Jesus the only way to walk in true reality of freedom is becoming born again and recognizing that there is bondage in your life and you need to be delivered and discipled. He is telling us a thief can get in and influence your life and bring bondage. Again, I messed with your emotions by asking, can a Christian be possessed by a demon? Demon possessed in the Greek is daimoni zomai. Daimoni zomaia. Daimoni means demon, zomaia is to possess. But to transfer is demon possessed is a good translation. To translate it is a good translation. I believe the best way to say it is, and I'm going to use a term, and I'll use this throughout the rest, is demonized. Demonized. When you see the full understanding of this, it's demonized. Now you have to recognize there are two words that talk about main words that talk about being possessed. All right? The first is ownership. This is not the word for ownership that's used in the story. This word in the Greek means to gain mastery over. Means to gain control, to gain power over. So can a Christian be owned by a demon? No. Can the demon come into a believer and own you where you have no control? No. The reason? We are owned by God. We are owned by God. But can a Christian be under control by a demon? Yes. They can. Under the power of a demonic influence. Demoni zomaia. So don't raise your hand. I'm just going to say this. Is there an area of your life you just can't get victory in? An area you feel helpless. You have no power, no control over it. It can't change. Is there an area of your life, a sin you have confessed over and over and over? You told God, I'll never do it again, and you keep doing it. Here, let me say this to you in a very loving, caring way. You're in bondage. Don't get depressed, because wait till the third point. People say, well, I just have a weakness in that area. But you've had that weakness for 20 years. Amen? You with me? It's not bad news either because I know the one who can set you free. But he can't set you free if you don't know you're in bondage. You're not owned by the enemy. If you look at pornography, you open a door to demonic influence. He won't own you. But you will be under the influence and the power of that. And we can talk about many other things, but we won't. There really are demons, and they really do influence people. So here's the third point. Jesus really does cast them out. He really does. Luke 10:17, Jesus sent the 70. He also sent the 12 with power over demons. He sent the 70 out, and then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Church family, even the demons are subject to you in Jesus' name. Luke 10:18, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When Satan rebelled, he was out quicker than lightning. Verse 19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Remember serpents and scorpions, the other series, types and shadows that represent demonic influence? And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, or literally saying this isn't the most exciting part, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Here's the reality. This is how you need to be after today's message. I'm a child of God. Now I recognize areas of my life that I haven't gotten victory over, that I've been influenced by a demonic influence that is bringing deception in my life. So I'm going to stand and say, by the word of God, I am a child of God, and I've been given authority, and in Jesus' name, I cast you out. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, and you leave now. And then what you do, you fill your heart with the word of God. You fill your heart with the word of God. Church, you fill your heart with the word of God. Oh, well, I'm not like Pastor Dan who memorizes all the scripture. Why not? But that's okay. Healed them with a word. Jesus! The power of that name. See, because we've been deceived on the power of Jesus. Because we're thinking, this stuff that I'm having trouble with, I just can't get victory. God, why? What's going on? You've been deceived. You're in bondage to it. Cast it out and then be discipled. Amen. Get in the Word of God. Walk in the power of God. Okay, let's go on. Verse 21. Holy Spirit also told me you would be really quiet on this. Also, the word subject in verse 20 means obedient, submissive slaves in the name of Jesus. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things. Remember the words, these things? For the wise, from the wise and prudent, or the people who think they know it all, and revealed them to babes, young disciples. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. These things, they were talking about authority over the demons. And some of you might be just born again, because we had a few people born again last week, and you might be brand new a week. I want to tell you, you have as much authority in Jesus' name as I do. And maybe because your belief system in that area now has become greater, your authority and your walk with it and your belief system might even be greater in this than me. It's not because you're a child or 20 years or 40 years. I want to tell you, it's harder for us who've known the Lord for a long time to get into these things and really rebuke these things, because we know it. We have it. We're there. And you know what? You do know it. You do have it. But I just want to tell you, this message is for everybody. If you're watching online and you're not born again, receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and immediately begin to walk in freedom. In freedom. See, I'm totally whole in my spirit, but my soul had to do some battle. Because my soul, nature, my heart was used to the old way. And even after being born again, I was still living the old way. Not in sin, these big sins anymore, but I was living, believing things that were not true. That I couldn't get over this. I couldn't change this. My marriage can't change. I want to tell you, that's a demon telling you your marriage can't change. because your marriage can rise up and be the best marriage on this earth if you will cast that influence out and begin to be discipled and love each other as Christ loved you. Let's all stand. I want to finish with you standing. Because we don't have a problem that God has the power. The enemy focuses on our unbelief. Many people call it weakness. And our history says you can't be set free because you tried it before. Mark 5:6. This guy in Mark was demonized. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Satan does not have the power to stop you from coming to Jesus. So if you're experiencing difficulty in your life, that's where it's at. And I promise you, and let me tell you, my promise from God to me was you're not going to have to face the spiritual battle that I faced. And I'm not saying, well, look at me, what I had to do. That's not what I'm saying. As your pastor, as a shepherd, my life, I'll sacrifice my life for the sheep. It's my heart. You don't hear that often from me. I just try to live it. But you don't have to go through the turmoil that I went through to bring you the word that I'm bringing you the next couple months. I'll tell you, every area in my life, physically, spiritually, emotionally, he went after me. Never had him before. A week and a half ago, I just got a bunch of hives on my neck and back. What the heck? You know? Prayed in Jesus' name. I come against that. I'm not in bondage. I took authority over that. I also took some medicine. Laughter doeth good like medicine. You don't have to face that. But what you need to face is yourself. You are godly. You love Jesus with all your heart. You desire the best for those around you, for your family. But I want to tell you, if you want to rise up to a greater realm and victory in your life, and see greater things in your life, that you rebuke that deception, that spiritual influence, rise up, be delivered, be discipled, fill your heart with the word of God, begin to memorize the word. Guys, get on Zoom with Pastor Dan in the mornings and you start walking in this. Guys, be at the Bible study this coming Saturday, the breakfast. Do these things and I promise you, you will rise up. Your call, your purpose will manifest, and you will be able to do all things in Christ who strengthens you. You will accomplish your dream when you do this. In Jesus' name. Father, you know my heart. I could talk about this all day. In Jesus' name, I proclaim an overwhelming outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I just pray a outpouring of a renewing of so many things that we knew before. But because we're in a battle in a certain area, we've forgotten the other victories. Lord, rise up in our lives. Victory has been won. Salvation is at hand. Lord, I proclaim salvation for our family members, our children and children's children. Lord, I proclaim healing. I come against disease. Every area that the enemy would want to steal, kill, and destroy with, in Jesus' name, we win. I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord an applause, would you? Remember, tonight, because we have family, we do not have Sunday evening service. We do have our Sunday afternoon Spanish service. And enjoy your family and your friends. The following week, we will begin our Sunday night Bible study again. God bless you. Have an amazing day.